Hey, everybody. It's another episode of the Touchline Podcast. You guys are lucky enough to be joining us for episode 29. And I'm Rich. Got Brett here.
Hi.
And Jared once again. What's up, Jared?
Not much. How you doing, guys?
Yeah, we got three amigos yet again in the panic room of the internet. Coming to you from various parts of the valley. Well, I guess, Brett, you're not even in the valley, are you?
No. I go made my own valley.
That's right.
Nobody told me this was a Jodie Foster movie.
Just be careful. So, yeah, today on the podcast, we're going to talk about the awesome game this last weekend against Sporting Suck It Kansas City. And then we're going to preview the upcoming Rocky Mountain Cup game against the Crapids. Our favorite, non-favorite team. And whatever else tickles our fancy, maybe a little bit of some of the news that came out this week as well. So let's jump right in to talk about Sporting Kansas City. So, this going into this game, we had five starters out and about 10 first-teamers out because of either suspension or injury. RSL used the rare hardship rule and brought up two Monarch players so they could fill out their bench. Going into this game, I was really nervous. I thought we would either get a 0-0 draw, kind of like we talked about last week, or we were just going to get smashed, but that's not how the game went. What do you see, Brett?
I saw two things. First thing I saw was a bunch of the second teamers that I think they kind of had a chip on their shoulder, and they were playing, trying to prove a point that in some of those positions, I mean, Luke's not going to take Javi's position away from him in his starting role, but I think some of those other guys, like Glad, proved that maybe they need to rethink the way that they're setting up this team and selecting their starters moving forward.
I think realistically, I mean, Glad's probably the only one who started that, you know, you could really see Kassar maybe going forward, but it was awesome to see all the other guys play in such a way that you would be maybe more comfortable than you were in the past if they had to play in those positions in the future.
Yeah.
I was pretty unsure how the midfield of Mulholland, Sturzer, and Sonny was going to work out. It's essentially no attacking midfielders, right?
Luke tried.
He did good, and he had a high work rate. He didn't have a lot of, you know, incisive passes or anything like that. He wasn't really threatening with the ball necessarily, but you know, he had high work rate, and I think he did what was necessary. You know, in that type of environment.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably just the way they game planned it. I think they were more or less hoping to control the midfield and kind of shut down those counterattacks. Because, I mean, I think it worked to them great, because how many times did they catch guys offsides?
I think it was 8.
That's it?
Eight is a lot of offside calls in a game, but it did seem like more like every time Dwyer or somebody was offside.
Yeah.
So they did play that offside trap really well in that the AR on that one side, man. He was all over raising that flag.
Mm-hmm. And actually he raised the flag at the wrong time there at the end.
Well, yeah, he did really well except for the very last call with saying that it was a penalty.
He was trying hard to save the game for Sporting. Really, really hard.
Well, if he wanted to do that, he could have just not raised his flag one of the other 8 times.
Yeah.
So, I was really, you know, impressed with Glad. I hope Wingert's okay, taking that shot to the head.
Yeah.
I was surprised that they left him in as long as they did. you know, where it was funny on the broadcast, Dunny was like, you know, good for them, you know, being about player safety and stuff. And I'm like, he's played like 20 minutes ever since that happened. Like, how? I don't know that that's really focusing on player safety if you let him play for those 20 minutes and then take him off.
Yeah. But, I mean, he played, was it something like 59 minutes? I mean, he even went through halftime with potentially having an injury.
Yeah, that was the crazy part is, you know, you're like, okay, maybe, you know, they a lot of times they let him, you know, play for a little bit, like finish off the half or whatever. But then he came back out and played another, you know, 15 minutes after halftime. And then they subbed him off, and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, on top of that, when, I mean, Wingert's our starter, but would you actually call him a starting 11 guy, in your opinion?
I think right now I'd rather have him than Phillips.
Okay. But, I mean, if moving forward, that's probably a position we want to upgrade.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't want either of them to be our starters. I mean, I'd rather have one of them be the backup.
So, essentially, you're having DeMar Phillips, who is your third string guy in that position, mm-hmm. coming in. I mean, you don't have a first string, so obviously Wingert's your first. But even Phillips coming, he was playing like what we were promised he was going to be. And I think that was great to actually see.
Yeah, no, for sure. He played a lot better than he had in the brief cameos he's had in the other games this year. Jared, what about your thoughts? What did you see?
I mostly just focused on those two goals, and it was just, wow, those goals were just awesome. I mean, Luke, cool foot Luke, comes out of nowhere. And then, you know, Justin Glad, Brett's favorite all-time player, you know.
Not all-time, but he's getting there, buddy.
Yes, his first career goal. And then he gets the shout-out on Twitter from the old man in Portland. You know?
Yeah, baby, it's baby Borchers, man. The apprentice is taken over from the master. I don't know.
It's awesome how long that joke's been going on between those two. Like, the first time I ever heard of it was when they were playing Club Tijuana. And I just remember watching an interview with Glad, and they're like, he's like, I hope I'm here for a very long time or something like that, and was just talking about how he hopes to just grow and become an all-time great, and Borchers is just yelling in the background about how he's going to raise him to be his own or something like that. It was amazing to watch.
You know, if I remember right, and maybe it's just because I remember the goals, but it seemed like when he was in the academy and stuff, he, for being a defender, he was a pretty regular scorer, you know, for on set pieces and whatnot for them. So, you know, for whatever reason, it seems like he knows how to attack the ball or get open or whatever. But, I mean, on that play, Kansas City didn't defend anybody. There was probably three or four guys who probably could have scored that.
Yeah, somebody was going to get on that one.
I guess, I don't know if they just decided, hey, if we just stand here, maybe they won't score. I don't know.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, you know, what are they sporting? Are they, like, sporting a losing attitude or, like...
Did you see they were advertising? So I guess, I don't know what company in Africa has the broadcasting rights for MLS. But have you seen what they call RSL and Sporting Kansas City?
No.
So however they translate it, they say actual Salt Lake and Athletic Kansas City, you know, are going to play each other, and it's just really funny.
Really?
Actual Salt Lake.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, okay. That's funny.
You know... Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, instead of
I mean,
saying, I guess it'd be more Royal Salt Lake would probably be the better translation, eh? But
yeah, but they probably think it's like, oh, it's just real. They're American. It's just real.
right, exactly. We don't have any kings over here, anyhow. So the second goal, like you talked about Luke, getting in the long-range bomb from outside the box. That was pretty sweet. They said on frame, I believe, that the past 3 years since he's been with the team, every first start that he has had, he's scored in. So, I mean, that's kind of an interesting random stat, but he scored the first time he started every year.
Huh, that seems impressive.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm sitting here looking at like the stats over this game, you can sit there and look at it, and I didn't realize it was this lopsided. We only held possession for 36% of the time.
Yeesh.
And I think that's like a huge testament of what Beckerman does in that midfield. Because that is huge.
It does seem like so far this season, and I haven't looked at the other games, but we are definitely less interested in keeping possession. And a lot of times in the past, like say the 2010, 2011 teams and stuff, that we would get a lot of possession, but a lot of it was the negative possession and passing it around the defense and kicking it up to a midfielder and then back to defense and back to Raimondo. And it doesn't seem like we do that as much anymore. And we're much more interested in getting it to the forwards and letting them try something. And then if it doesn't work, then the other team has the ball for a little bit, and then we try it again. I don't think we're as far against possession as, say, Leicester City for the Premier League, where, if they have 5% possession, whatever, they don't care. But
Aren't they going to win the premiership, though?
they are, and they don't care about having the ball at all. They get the ball and they try and counter immediately, like every single time.
I just hurry and looked, and so in the Portland game we only held 32% possession, but
Whoa.
and in the other two games it was practically around 50-50.
Yeah, I think gone are the days. And besides that, the diamond is really kind of set up for kind of more possession, I
Possession.
think. And the 4-3-3 is not set up as much for possession necessarily. So I definitely think gone are the days where, we're having 70% possession every game.
Sucks.
It's just
But
and
go
it's just
back
the
to the
number of
diamond.
passes.
Back to the diamond.
Yeah.
We don't have possession. Blow it up.
Possession can be overrated. Because we're
Yeah.
the highest, aren't we the highest scoring team in the league without the ball? And, I mean, we don't have the ball, and we're the highest scoring team in the league, so.
Score
We need
anyways.
one shot.
But Brett
All
wants to shine like a diamond.
Well, yeah. Anyway.
Jared's on quoting random song lyrics tonight for whatever reason that is. Before the pod, he was quoting Bulletproof, so.
That's what happens when you let him watch Pitch Perfect.
Well, this is true. It's a quality show.
I've never seen it, so.
Really?
Oh, man.
It's
You just.
awesome. I just sit down and randomly watch it sometimes. I don't know what that says about me, but
You're like singing it to yourself.
yeah, it's a funny show, man.
It's pretty hilarious. The jokes in it
Yeah.
are pretty choice.
Make good choices. Sometimes I think I should do meth, but then I'm like, no, better not.
Plus, oh my goodness, Rebel Wilson is just hilarious in that movie.
Yeah.
She's so dang.
Anyway, we digress again. So,
That's what we do.
do we need to talk about the last goal? I mean, bleh.
Meh.
It is what it is. Oh, the one funny thing I do want to talk about is the Benny Failhaber, Luke Mulholland rugby tackle. Do you guys remember that off the
Yes.
restart? So, somebody posted on Twitter tonight or earlier today about the pro referees reviewing that call. And I'll pull it up while I'm talking here, but they were reviewing about what happens when the ref stops play for an injury. And they were comparing the New York-New England game where a player was down, the ref didn't stop play, and New England scored, and that was the only goal in the game. And then they talked about the RSL goal or RSL play where Mond was down and the ref stopped play, but he probably shouldn't have because Mond just got back up right after that. And then they talk about how Benny rugby tackles Luke, and then where does it say? It says, you know, Mulholland also received a yellow card, and he can feel unfortunate because why? You know, he had every right to challenge for the ball because it was in open play, you know, and they can't manipulate the players to cooperate with the restart. Anyway, it's just funny that pro referees basically told Uncle that he was in the wrong, you know.
Well, I mean, we kind of knew that Uncle's in the wrong.
I did think for the most part he did okay during the game, except for he had some real bizarre yellow cards and then that penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I mean, I thought it was fairly okay, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought that was interesting that Pro reviewed that as well and was like, yeah, we're not really sure why he got a yellow either.
But did they take it away?
I don't think they can.
Boo.
Yeah.
On the plus side, so now if we move to the Colorado Rapids game, Drew Fisher is going to be our ref this week, and I think Charles pointed out that I think we're 6-1-1 when Drew Fisher refs our games. So
yes.
That's something.
Talking to a win.
That's right. So we are playing the first of the Rocky Mountain Cup this weekend. This year we play two games in Colorado and one game here. This is the first game, obviously, like I said. And then the next game is in May, I think.
Let's hope for a sweep.
Oh, yeah, the second game is here. No, where am I? Is that... I'm on Colorado, yeah. Sorry, I was like, it says it's a home game, but we're on a road trip then. So May 7th is the next game, and it's also in Colorado. And then we play them later in the year for the
in
last
August.
One. Yeah, August 26th. So they're bringing in Tim Howard and Jermaine Jones, but neither of them will be there for this game. Timmy is not joining till July when the transfer window opens again, and Jermaine Jones is still on his six-game ban for accosting Mark Geiger, I think it was. Was it Mark Geiger or was it a different ref? Do you remember?
I'm gonna assume any time it's Uncle.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't Uncle, but anyway, he's still on his suspension, so he won't be there either. They've actually been doing okay this season so far. They lost away to San Jose, then they beat LA in stoppage time off of Marco Papa smash, and then they drew away to DC United, and then this last weekend they beat Toronto FC at home. So they've had two home and two away games. We've had only the one home game so far and the three road games. So how do you feel like this is going to play out, Brett?
We're going to win.
We're going to get to Jared's predicting powers in a second.
Yeah. No, I honestly think we do get the win. I don't know. It's Colorado. I mean, they are early on this season looking a lot better than they were last year. But I think a lot of that just has to do with Marco Papa's carrying them. And so...
Yeah, I'm not sure if they've worked it, how well they've worked in, you know, some of their other players, you know, that they bought. I don't even know if that dude they got from Switzerland, what was his name?
During the draft?
No. It was they signed like the Swedish league or Swiss league's leading scorer.
Okay.
But I don't remember his name now. I don't remember. Anyway, I don't know how he's made it, like how he's incorporated into the team, if it's working out like they thought or what.
Mm-hmm.
But they still, I mean, I don't know. I've watched some of their games because we get Altitude here, right?
Yeah.
Altitude channel. And I don't know, they just don't seem to be that frightening. Yeah. Goshi, that's right.
Is you know the only Swiss player that matters? Shaqiri, man. Shaqiri.
Yeah. He's like a linebacker, man. I don't know what that dude does, but he needs to do less shoulder weightlifting for sure.
Well, he's tiny, though. Holy crap.
He's tiny, but he's got,
I know, he's got
enormous
these
shoulders. Shoulders.
Yeah, he's got these giant shoulders for such a short guy.
Crazy.
You know, sitting here looking at Goshi, though, I mean, he's started all three games. He's played 223 minutes. And taken 11 shots, but he's only put 2 on frame.
Well, so, you like that?
I think early enough in the year that he's still trying to figure out the game and the speed and everything here and take advantage.
Yeah, let's hope that it doesn't work out for them.
We never want it to work out for them.
Yeah. No, so yeah, I mean, Jared, do you have a prediction for us of what you think?
2-0, man. We're gonna win 2-0.
What was your Sporting Kansas City prediction?
I said 1-0.
1-0. Oh.
Yeah, that turned out to be 2-1.
We won by one.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, we still won by one. So, but we scored. Is this 2 goals in every game this season? We've scored 2 goals.
Yep.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. At least.
Yeah, we scored 2 goals against Orlando, Portland, Seattle, and Kansas City. So, yep. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, we were the only team, I think, last weekend that scored more than 1. So,
nice.
Whatever that means. But yeah, I think you're still 3-0, right, on being accurate for wins and draws.
Yeah, for wins and draws, yeah. So far, so good.
Let's keep it up. What about you, Brett? What score do you think we're going to get? I'm saying 3-0, so you can't take it.
That's what I was about to say, too.
3-0. Mark it down.
Okay, 4-0, then.
4-0? Holy crap.
Well, here's my thinking. You'll have Javi, who's been rested. Burrito, who's been rested. Euro didn't play a full game.
And, I wonder, do you think Plata that Javi's going to play?
Out of his mind, huh?
Do you think Plata, with his broken rib, do you think it will have healed by then?
Probably not, but I mean, he'll give it a go.
I wonder if they'll just hold him out again because it's like, why risk him right now?
Yeah. And I think if he doesn't start, Jordan Morris, I think, could probably fill that role just fine. I don't know if you want to send Luke out there again.
You mean Jordan Allen?
Yeah, Jordan Allen. I want Jordan Morris, though.
Yeah, Seattle might be wanting to trade him so far.
That's what I get for looking at other teams' rosters while I'm messing around.
Yeah, so I think I guess it'll be interesting because, you know, we had so many players hurt. Is Romano going to be back? You know, are they going to keep Glad in and have Olave come off the bench? Is Wingert's concussion going to be better, or is, you know, he going to be out still? Is Javi's rib going to be okay? You know, so is Yura, you know, he keeps coming out because of a groin. So are they going to hold him out to let him heal?
I would really like to see what the team would look like with Glad instead of Olave. Just you know, as a curiosity type thing. And plus, it's the Crapids, so we're not really in danger of
losing. You're going to see that eventually this year. Like, it's going to happen.
I think so too, because he looked really good in his start versus Sporting.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is moving forward, that's probably the game plan is to put Glad in a situation like that. Sad thing is first time realistically I say you can probably see it isn't probably going to be until when you play one of those midweek games and then follow it up with a Saturday game. And the first one's not till July, so if he's not in the starting lineup by July, I'll have issues. He's not in the starting lineup come Saturday, I'll have issues.
Mean, but you could see, like, I mean, if they don't have him as the starter, like all the turf games, you know, like when we play Portland in June and Vancouver and New England and, you know, all those games. You know, assuming Olave is healthy, that, you know, Glad might play those games because they like to keep Olave off the turf. And then the chance of Olave and Mon being healthy together the whole year is also pretty low. So I think he'll get games. It just depends on if he becomes the preferred starter over Olave.
It will be.
All right. The other thing that came out today, or leaked, I don't know if leak is the right word, but on Frame, they teased that there's going to be an announcement this Saturday at the stadium before this game. And RSL Soapbox, Mr. Matt Montgomery, posted an article saying that Deloitte, Hansen, and RSL are intending to build a $50 million-ish academy and training facility out in Harriman, which is amazing. You know, there were some national people on Twitter talking up, you know, about how if this is true, you know, how just ambitious and crazy, you know, it would be. You know, the one guy back east is like, you know, I don't even think you could find 42 acres, which is what they're planning on doing, you know, of free space. Back east somewhere, you know, like 42 acres just to use for a training facility. But you know, it sounds like they want to use it also. They showed it to Man City, Man United, Barcelona, teams like that to, you know, see if it would be palatable for them to use in the summertime for their preseason training, and they all seem to be very positive about that. So
Oh, that's cool. Because
you
that could
know,
mean more friendlies here.
yeah, I mean the problem with friendlies is always, you know, the ticket costs and how much, you know, those teams are going to want for gate
Right.
receipts. I mean, that's why back in the day when the team first came here, we had an agreement with Real Madrid to play friendlies. But, you know, they talked about how, you know, just to break even with what, you know, Real Madrid would want, the ticket price that everyone would have to pay would just be, you know, I don't know. Way, you know, 100 or more, you know, way more than what we would normally pay for a game.
Yeah, because folks are not going to want to pay to see. That's the thing. I don't think they get. I don't think Real Madrid won. I don't think they get how much people are willing to pay for a soccer game in America, especially because it's friendly and it's not like any kind of. There are no implications at all. It's just a friendly.
Yeah, and I mean, if say, you know, Barcelona and Man City were playing, I mean, you're gonna sell out whatever football stadium they put them in. But like for RSL, you know, Real Madrid friendly in the middle of July, I don't know if you're gonna get people paying $200 a ticket.
Exactly. No way. No way.
But some of the other stuff they said in the article was that, you know, they would use it for Monarchs to play games there, so it would have a small stadium. And that they would move a small portion of the academy kids from Arizona up to here. So I think that would, if they took like the top kids in the, you know, 17 or 16, 18 age bracket and had them train here for, especially during the soccer season, it'd be really easy for them to, you know, go to training with the Monarchs and the first team to help kind of incorporate them into plans. Rather than having them have to fly back and forth between Arizona. So I think this could be huge.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the rendered drawings obviously are always more optimistic than what it ends up being, but I don't know. I'm super excited if it's even kind of close to what this is going to be.
And hopefully it's not as big a fiasco as building the stadium was.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Harriman's totally on board. I was gonna s just see how far, I mean, because Harriman's, not the closest.
I don't recall why building the stadium was such a fiasco.
It basically came down to who's willing to deal with all the legal and taxes and everything, which city was willing to deal with it.
Gotcha.
Well, it was mainly a fiasco when they were talking about doing it at the fairgrounds. Deloitte was pretty much willing to donate a stadium to the fairgrounds, and the lawmakers were like, "Nah, we don't want your free money." And so then they went out to West Valley City. They were going to build it out by the Maverick Center.
Oh.
And then at the town hall, they talked about once they had made that announcement, they kind of got more information from the other MLS teams and kind of saw that most of the other MLS teams were not really as excited about their USL teams as we are. And so we kind of pulled back because we didn't want to be, I guess, the lone guy or the pioneer, so to speak, in that regard, where, if we're spending all this infrastructure money on something that nobody else is going to do, maybe we're kind of overestimating the market a little bit or whatever you want to call it. So they kind of pulled back just to kind of see how things played out. Like mostly, I think every MLS team except for RSL voted to not have the USL team participate in the Open Cup this season, because they didn't want to have to deal with that. But, RSL was like, yeah, we want in. So that got voted down, so Monarchs can't play in the Open Cup. It just seems like most of the MLS teams just aren't as invested in trying to grow their USL team that RSL is.
I think they went into that with the right mentality, because a lot of them really kind of didn't want to go create their own team, so they just went and found a team and said, "Hey, this is our partner now." But I think RSL looked at it and was like, "So we already have an academy and we have our pro team, and this is just the step in between." And so, I mean, their coach meets up with our coaching staff and they game plan. And if, I mean, when we were going through the pain last year of switching to a 4-3-3 and all that, they were doing the exact same thing. So now their players know what's expected if they ever have to come up and play for RSL. And I think just having that mentality to go in there and just be like, "This is why this team is here." And kind of like in the NBA, like, and the D leagues, you just use it to find out what you have and run the same systems that you would run in the pros.
Well, that's the funny thing, because in the NBA, everybody's starting to realize how valuable having that direct affiliation is. And I think the Jazz were really smart to buy the Stampede last year, and now they're moving them to Salt Lake and calling it the Salt Lake City Stars, kind of in is like a little bit as like an homage to the old Utah Stars who won the ABA championship back in the day.
Yeah, so it's
Yeah.
basically the same concept. Just I think they went in with the right mentality for it, whereas other teams were just, "Okay, give us a team. All right, whatever."
Yeah, I agree. I think at some point they're going to realize how valuable that is, and the fact that RSL already has that mentality that everybody's on the same page from the RSL side down, that's going to be really invaluable moving forward, and it gives you a lot of hope for the future of the club, just because they're doing things the smart way, not just, "Oh, nobody else cares, so we don't care. Oh yeah, it's just a waste of money." Yeah. I think they're being pretty smart about it.
I tweeted at David Locke, when he was talking about the D League team, And as he didn't respond to me, which I'm fine.
To most people don't.
I know, but I was just asking him philosophically: do we ever think the NBA is going to go to an academy system? Because right now you have the AAU and the college programs and stuff. Like, I just wonder philosophically if the NBA would ever get to a point where you could kind of develop your own players. You know what I mean?
You know, that would be very concept, except for the fact that Adam Silver is really, he's really pro age limit, and he wants to keep kids from declaring early and coming in at like 18. He wants to get something in place so that these kids can't just skip college. I don't know why exactly he wants to do that, but it's kind of his. It's kind of his thing, so I don't know that he would be too receptive to having a system in place where the teams could basically say, hey, yeah, you can start training with us when you're like 14, and then we'll just kind of develop you along the way, and you would move up to the top level of the club, which is it's interesting because that's kind of how soccer is all over the world. You know, they've got those academy systems down in Brazil and other places in South America, and then they basically develop the kids and then bring them up when they're ready. And I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, look through RSL's roster, and I think that's something that they can hang their hat on and look forward to is a lot of their roster and even guys that aren't in this league or are on other teams came through their academy. I mean, they've built this team. Like, while they were being successful and building, they were looking at 13, 14 year olds and training them and teaching them how to play the game. And now you're seeing it with Acosta and Jordan Allen and Lalo, Justin Glad.
Did Gil come through our system?
Or? No. He was when he came into the league, we traded with Kansas City.
Yep.
We traded for the rights to him.
Yeah, you're right. I remember looking that up the other day. Okay.
Yeah, but Saucedo, he's not with the team, he's out on loan. And then you got guys like Toya, Carlos Salcedo. I mean, I think RSL's impact, their footprint when it comes to the academy and just, the smaller divisions and growing players from that is huge in this league. I can't think of another team that's got, this many players out there playing.
Yeah, I think for sure RSL, Dallas, and LA are kind of the three premier, teams using academy players. And it's just funny how many teams there are, like established teams even, that,
It's kind of funny that we mentioned LA, because when we think of LA, we only think of, they just buy these expensive players.
Yeah, and Zardes was from their academy. I don't know if they have how many they have on their roster right now, but like Los Dos, their USL team, it's got lots of kids in it that have played first team minutes. So
that's pretty cool.
I mean, I'm sitting here looking at a list, and I'm not sure how updated it was, but just current homegrown players inside the MLS, you have some, like San Jose, that only has one, but Toronto is another one. Them and Vancouver. Vancouver's got a lot of homegrown players, but that's basically when they came into the league, that's how they decided to build their team compared to how other teams do. But Real Salt Lake has seven guys, all of them with the team, that were homegrown players. And so,
pretty impressive.
That's what the system's there for. And so, sweet.
Well,
it just makes you think, Well, it just makes you think that even when Beckerman and everyone decides to retire, we've really got a good thing going forward.
We really do.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be some pain for sure, but I mean, it's fun to see these kids coming up, and hopefully some of them will stick. But you guys have anything else you guys want to touch on before we wrap it up?
I got two questions.
All right.
Let's hear one. It. Okay, is this team for real? Or is this just they're hot at the beginning of the year?
Well, they're a real team. I'm just kidding.
You mean they are. Real.
Are they like those shakes at the gas station that say for real?
For real? They're actual Salt Lake.
Or are they actually, you know, go down to Arctic Circle and get a shake, and that they're that real. They're not a gas station. No, I think they are an actual like Arctic Circle shake. They're not that crappy little gas station shake. They're for real.
I definitely think that our attack should be pretty potent all year, and a lot of it will just depend on, you know, how we can defend. But I think as long as, you know, the majority of our attacking core stays healthy, and I don't know that all of them need to stay healthy, but most of them need to. I don't know how MLS defenses are going to stop us from, you know, scoring fairly regularly.
Yep.
So I don't expect us to be, you know, out of the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I think this is a playoff team.
Okay, and then the second one is, he's got 3 goals and 3 assists. Is Plata the MVP for the entire season so far?
Are you asking, is he going to be the league MVP, or is he just the MVP so far?
I think obviously right now he's the MVP so far, but do you think he can maintain it and be the MVP at the end of the year?
I think the fact that he has some help in attacking and everything, I think he has a good shot of at least being top three for the year. And, yeah, he's got a real shot. I mean, yeah, I think he's got a shot.
Go ahead, Brett.
I was just going to say, I think the one thing that stands out to me, the biggest, is so he's second in the league right now when it comes to goals. He has 3. The only person that's beaten him is Pedro Morales from Vancouver. But Pedro has gotten all 4 goals off of PKs.
Oh, gosh.
So
that is totally unsustainable.
Yeah. So who can... Can Plata keep it up all year long?
I think it's possible. I think it'll be difficult. And part of, I think, why it will be hard for him to be the league MVP is because he plays in Salt Lake, and we're not on the national radar enough, I don't think. So say he ended the season with, like, I don't know, 17 goals and 10 assists or something, you know, which would be really good.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what, like, Giovinco or anybody had last season, but say he had comparable numbers. Like, if somebody else, like, say Giovinco is similar, right, I think they would probably go with the bigger name. So for him to win it, I think he would have to kind of crush everybody else.
Yeah, he would definitely have to pull away. That's why I say it's more likely that people view him as, like, a top three player in the league than they just kind of go, yeah, he's the MVP. Because, yeah, he's going to have to beat everybody by at least 3 or 4 goals to even get the recognition, because this is Salt Lake City, and even though, you know, we've made some noise, we're not, like, known as a power team or, like, a dominant team. They're always going to give the nod to, like, the Sounders or L.A., or, you know, the teams that have a flashier name and have made a bigger splash in free agency or whatever.
Yeah.
That's kind of the reality of a Salt Lake City or Utah team. that you're
Yeah,
always
and
going
to go along with what, I mean, to go along with what you're saying, I mean, look at who won goalkeeper of the year last year, and you know, all the years as long as we've had Raimondo.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that kind of helps answer the question a little bit. Is, you know, Raimondo's never won goalkeeper of the year, so.
Seriously, and is there a more deserving goalie than Nick Raimondo? I don't think so. I mean, he's like, he's basically even a doofus like Klingsman can say, oh wow, he's one of the three best American goalies. I want him on the national team. But no, the MLS can't say, oh yeah, Raimondo, you're the goalkeeper of the year. You know.
Yeah. I mean, since 2011, they've kind of showed who's taken second, third, and fourth in voting, and Raimondo has finished in the top four every year except for last year. It's
yeah,
just, it's amazing.
That's because he had no help last year.
Well, now he's got Glad.
Yeah. Raimondo can't be mad, he's got Glad.
Exactly. So. All I got.
All right. Well, those are good questions. Jared, you got anything you want to talk about?
No, I think we're good, man. I think
all
we're
right.
good. Oh, next week we'll probably be. I'm gonna touch base with Kelsey, which the
Kelsey Price.
Yeah, soccer community probably knows her as, if they're on Twitter. I think it's, what is it at? I'm trying to remember her handle. Anyways, she works for
is that KP Kelsey?
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, we're gonna touch base with her and see if we can get her on the show next week, hopefully. So that'll be fun. See what it's like to cheer for RSL and still work for a different soccer team.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if Sacramento feels the same as what I've been feeling for like 2 years now, about if there's one team in that division that could just walk into MLS and maybe not, you know, have the same amount of talent and everything, but just has like the front office ability to just run a team, I think
yeah.
it's Sacramento.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
yeah. So that'll be fun. So keep your eyes out for that, guys. We're going to do our best to get her on. She'll come on sometimes anyway.
She's apparently got a stellar collection of scarves too, so we'll probably have to ask her about that.
Yeah.
Nice.
That'll be good. Maybe she can also randomly quote some songs and movie lyrics for us.
Match
so,
made in heaven for Jared.
Yeah, it'd be great. But yeah, if you guys are listening, if you guys have any people that you want us to reach out to get interviews from, especially if it's maybe somebody that, you know, you don't hear from very often, definitely let us know. You can get at me at frisbee_rich on Twitter. Where do they get you, Brett?
I'm at a24brett and at touchline_tbs.
And hit me up at gothedistance49.
Awesome. Yeah, and Brett's the one who runs that Touchline account, right?
Till I can find me an unpaid intern.
So yeah, if you're interested in that as well, let Brett know. He may pay you in Frito-Lay products, I'm not sure. chips of some kind. But yeah, or donuts perhaps, I don't know.
Oh,
anyway.
But I'll find a donut.
Yeah, thanks for listening to Touchline Podcast again, everybody. We will talk to you next week.
See ya.
Signing off.